Our Endless Numbered Days, written by Claire Fuller and read by Elide L. Beaton.
Chapter 1. Highgate, London, November 1985. This morning, I found a black and white photograph of my father at the back of the bureau drawer. He didn't look like a liar. My mother, Uta, had removed the other pictures of him from the albums she kept on the bottom shelf of the bookcase and shuffled around all the remaining family and baby snapshots to fill in the gaps. The frame picture of their wedding, which used to sit on the mantelpiece, had gone too. On the back of the photograph, Uta had written, "James und sein Busenfreunde mit Oliver, 1976," in her steady handwriting. It was the last picture that had been taken of my father. He looked shockingly young and healthy, his face as smooth and white as a river pebble. He would have been 26, 9 years older than I am today. As I peered closer, I saw that the picture included not only my father and his friends, but also Uta and a blurred smudge, which must have been me. We were in the sitting room where I was standing. Now the grand piano was at the other end, beside the steel-framed doors which lead to the glasshouse and through to the garden. In the photograph, the piano stood in front of the three large windows overlooking the drive. They were open, their curtains frozen mid-billow in a summer breeze. Seeing my father in our old life made me dizzy, as though the parquet were tipping under my bare feet, and I had to sit down. After a few moments I went to the piano, and for the first time since I had come home, I touched it, running my fingers without resistance across the polished surface. It was much smaller than I remembered, and showed patches of a lighter shade where the sun had bleached it over many years. And I thought that maybe it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. Knowing that the sun had shone and the piano must have been played and people had lived and breathed whilst I had been gone helped steady me. I looked at the picture in my hand. At the piano, my father leaned forward, his left arm stretched out languidly whilst his right hand tinkered with the keys. I was surprised to see him sitting there. I have no recollection of him ever sitting at the piano or playing it, although, of course, it was my father who taught me to play. No, the piano was always Uta's instrument. "The writer, he holds his pen and the words flow. I touch the keyboard and out my music comes," she says with her hard German vowels. On that day, at that tiny moment in time, my father sat uncharacteristically relaxed and handsome in his long-haired, thin-faced way, whilst Uta, wearing an ankle-length skirt and a white blouse with leg-of-mutton sleeves, was striding out of shot, as if she could smell the dinner burning. She held my hand, and her face was turned away from the camera, but something in the way she carried herself made her look displeased, irritated to be caught with the rest of us. Uta was always well-built, big-boned and muscular, though in the last 9 years she's become fat, her face wider than in my memory, and her fingers so puffed her wedding ring is locked in position.